You either love or hate Elon Musk, and today I'll tell you which one is the correct answer as we unpack the world's most evil nerd. Even worse, I have a theory about how he chipped his brain to channel an AI demon, and now he's possessed. How about a lap dance for the world's richest man? Today we're Illuminate confirming Elon Musk. Now we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff on Elon Musk, his 14 neglected children, how they reveal his true motivation of Nazis, magic, Satanism, his family's legacy of a political system called the technocracy. It just so happens to be what we're witnessing in real time, from 15-minute cities fulfilling Plato's empire and the New Atlantis to eugenics. Dark MAGA is actually black magic. We'll talk about Elon Musk's satanic sex parties, Epstein blackmail operations run by Amber Heard, allegedly, and the ultimate conspiracy. Elon possessed by an AI demon through that Neuralink brain chip. We've got a lot to get through, folks. Now, this is part four of the Dark Enlightenment series. If you haven't listened to part one, two, and three, check out the show notes. I got links, okay? Go check them out. I've got one more part after this. I've been saying there's four parts. I got five, all right? And when Josie and I, we have a podcast, my wife Josie and I, we run a podcast called Breaking Social Norms. Maybe you've checked it out. You're going to love it or hate it, I assure you. It's a little different than this show. But anyway, we did a breakdown of the world's most evil nerds in 2021. And plot spoiler, guess who came in at number one? It was Elon Musk. And he hasn't disappointed. He proves to be more evil by the day. And I've got, I'll give you the breakdown. I'll put a link in the show notes. Did I say 21? It might be from 22. I'm looking at my notes here. April 2022, we did that show. Yeah, Most Evil Nerds Countdown, April 22. On Breaking Social Norms podcast, available everywhere. I'll put a link in the show notes as well. And also, I want to run a disclaimer, because I've been doing this series for a few weeks now, and I've been talking about nerds, right? And I'm pretty hard on the nerds. And I want to clarify something. I'm talking about the evil nerds, not band nerds or computer nerds. I have love for them. I'm a nerd, okay? I'm a nerd. I've got degrees with engineering. You don't think I'm a nerd? I'm a total nerd, all right? So I'm not talking about all nerds. I'm talking about the evil nerds. But back in 2022, we talked about all the reasons that I thought Elon is the most evil nerd. Back then, he only had seven kids. He's doubled that since. Oh, and I'm recording this in late March because I have to get ahead of the shows for a variety of things I got going on. I got a guest coming on. I got to prepare for it, all kinds of things. So Elon might have a 15th, 16th kid between this recording and when you hear this. So just know that. He's got photos of him hanging out with Ghislaine Maxwell. He manipulates crypto markets. He challenged Putin to a fight. He's got that alpha nerd anger. He challenged Mark Zuckerberg to a fight. That never happened. He dabbles in wars like the Rothschilds did. He was messing around with Starlink satellites in Ukraine, and now he's holding that over their heads and saying, oh, I'm going to turn them off. You know, he bought Twitter. He bought a whole social media platform. He pretends he's a cool guy. He wants you to believe he's so cool and so smart, and he's absolutely not. He wants you to believe he's a genius. He lied on Joe Rogan and said that he created Tesla. No, you didn't, dude. Like, there's literal interviews with the people who started Tesla. He came in and bought it. He is obsessed with space, and that's the breakaway civilizations that the conspiracy community has talked about for so long. He wants the breakaway civilization of the one percenters to Mars. And I said on that show in 2022, I said, the most evil thing about the guy is the Neuralink and his belief in simulation theory. Neuralink, of course, being that brain cap. They want to insert a chip into your brain. And, of course, they boast how it's used to help people with disabilities, which is great. I actually, you know, I love that. You can make someone, you know, I don't know what they're going to really do with it. Make someone walk again, make someone hear again. Like, that's awesome. I love that. However, the conspiracy theorist in me says it doesn't stop there. It's all about integrating technology into the human body, which we talked about in parts 1 through 3. about like the CCRU and Nick Land and how they want to accelerate us into the singularity to get us into the matrix. That's the final plan for us. They have to integrate technology into our body to effectively make us no longer human. So, let's see. If you go to, there was an interview with Elon Musk on NBC News years ago, and he said, if you assume any rate of improvement at all, games will eventually be indistinguishable from reality. We're most likely live or most likely in a simulation. So that accelerationism that I talked about in parts 1 through 3, it fits with this Gnostic worldview of bowing down to an AI god to give us the freedom to liberate us from this terrible existence in this world. Even Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I'm critical of, gives it better than 50-50 odds that we're living in a simulation. And Nick Bostrom in 2003, a philosopher, says, if there are long-lived technological civilizations in the universe, and if they run computer simulations, there must be a huge number of simulated realities complete with artificial intelligence inhabitants who may have no idea they're living in a game. And we talked about Grimes on the, I think, part 3. We talked about Grimes and Elon bonding over that Robo's Basilisk. This idea that, hey, if there's a super AI coming in the future, you better start bowing down now. Otherwise, it'll punish you for not supporting its rollout. But out of all those things, and not to mention, it's his family. Out of all those things, it's his family that concerns me. Because he was from South Africa, went to Canada, and then came to America on a student visa, and then dropped out of college and was like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur CEO type. Like every jerk from your hometown you see on social media renting a Porsche and taking photos with it and being like, oh, yeah, you know, grind, rise and grind. You know, every dipshit liar on social media. That's him. And his family, his bloodline, has interests in the technocracy, a term we hear a lot, but I want to define that. It's a form of government where decisions are made by science and technology experts, which is ironic because over the years, especially given the pandemic, a lot of America, including the truther world, was very critical of experts and studies and science, right? Rightfully so, because you know the one camp was like, you know, primarily leftists were like, oh, trust the science, and then you had like truthers on the right wing who were like, exactly who's paying for this science though? Who paid for these studies? You know, you can find a doctor. There's a million doctors in America, a million. You can find a doctor to tell you any old thing. Doesn't make them an expert. It makes them an expert, but it doesn't make that the truth, okay? I was literally watching, what was it? Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, there was an episode where he talked about DraftKings and gaming in the sports industry, how you can gamble on sports games now. And there was a woman on there who was like completely taken advantage of by the gambling company, and they you know, kept luring her into gamble more and more, and she was in debt like, I don't know, 150 grand or something. And she was upset about it, you know, and I get it. Like I don't have gambling addiction, so I have a hard time understanding why people keep going back in for more. But it's an addictive thing, and they exploit it, right? But I'm still pro-gambling, by the way. I give it the same stance as alcohol, marijuana, porn, and gambling. It's all these things can completely wreck someone's life, and they're not good for some people. Other people can partake and just enjoy it as a little downtime. Do we make society so safe that none of us get any freedoms? I disagree with that. I think you should regulate it and you know, whatever. So anyways, my point being, this woman is like, they're telling the story about this woman who was like kept getting lured into more and more and deeper, and like, oh, she's this horrible victim. And they interview her, and she was a doctor. And I thought, see, I mean, that's case in point. Like, just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're the end-all, be-all. I would listen to a doctor for sure. Like, a doctor knows more about medical information than I do, but, like, I also bump it up against some other research I do, and, like, you know? Anyway, my point is, the technocracy is going to be run by your Dr. Fauci's, by the Dr. Draft King there, whatever. And the scientists are given all the power, and the science, which is the state, has full control over the economy and politics. It's kind of like communism, but for science. So here comes Elon Musk. His father, of course, wealthy emerald mine owner. That's where he got his money from, daddy. Mommy is a fashion model who's friends with Beyonce, which, again, like, red flags here. She was in the Haunted video with Beyonce. And then you've got May's father, which is Elon's grandfather, Josh Haldeman. Now, this is where it's interesting, because Josh Haldeman was arrested in Canada for the crime of technocracy. And if you look into him, he was a, you know, entrepreneur, farmer, chiropractor, blah, blah, blah. He was anti-banking, anti-bureaucracy. And the reason for that is because he was mad. He was big mad. They repoed his farm because he couldn't make his payments anymore, and he got mad at the bureaucracy of the government. And the technocracy that he was trying to, I don't know, create was a movement to save Canadians during the Depression of the 1930s, because they thought, man, capitalism just crashed our way of living. We need to replace it with a totalitarian technocracy. So in June 1940, Canada bans this technocracy movement. They also banned Jehovah's Witnesses and the Communist Party. And technocracy was believed to be breaking laws, and that's why they banned it, because they were going to overthrow the Constitution by force. And this Elon's grandfather, Josh Haldeman, he was on trial because he was a member. He was a leader of the organization. But my point is, the technocracy is all about science as the new God. So if you didn't like the things going on in 2020, from the thing from 2020 that will never go away, and the scientists telling you to do this and that and the other, then you wouldn't want a technocracy, because that's what that is. And like I always say, like, science is a tool. I'm not anti-science. I just think that there's room in the corporate capitalist system to manipulate it with studies to find, some kind of statistic to make you believe that you should go one way or the other. And the technocrats also believe that all media is fake news, so they want to get rid of that as well. And they want to use the technology to control and manipulate behavior. They want to spy on us, and the technocracy is a way they can do that. Douglas Rushkoff, he has a book called, I got it right here. Hang on, folks. Media Virus. I got it from the 90s. Yellow Pages. And he talks about memetics transmitting ideas, and some could even say it's the ghosts in the machine, archetypes of spirits being transmitted, which kind of aligns more to what I talked about with the CCRU and the H.P. Lovecraft entities and such. So if you go to an article written in June of 21 by Ira Bazin on newsinteractives.cbc.ca, it tells the story of Technocracy Incorporated. That was the one that Josh Haldeman, Elon's grandfather, was a leader of, because it was deemed subversive to the war effort as well. It says, Technocracy Incorporated was not a political movement. In fact, politicians or members of political parties were not allowed to join. It was founded in New York City in 1933 as an educational and research organization promoting radical restructuring of political, social, and economic life in Canada and the U.S. with science as its central operating principle. Now, ironically, it proposed a system of no countries, no politicians, no business people, and no income inequality, right? Which obviously is the opposite of what the oligarchy wants. The oligarchy wants a class of elites and then the rest of us. So, like I said, this is more of a scientific communism sort of thing. And they advocated to have one large land mass, which is kind of all the Americas, and they wanted to call it Technate. And they wanted this to be a utopian one world order. And I'll try to put the image on the artwork for the episode, but the map they drafted up included not just the American continent all the way down to Panama, which you heard Panama being talked about in the news a lot, right? Remember all that? Like Trump's trying to buy it or control it or whatever. But it also included Greenland. And, you know, if you haven't been paying attention, the twins have been talking about Panama and Greenland almost every day since January 20th, which is just interesting. I don't know that the two are connected, but maybe. So Josh was a leader of this, Josh, Elon's grandfather, was a leader of the Technocracy Incorporated chapter in Canada from 1936 to 1941. He eventually became disillusioned with both the organization and the country, packed up his family, and started a new life in South Africa, which is where Elon Musk comes about, right? In June 1971, Haldeman's daughter Maeve gave birth to his first grandson, and his name is Elon Musk. So yeah, Joshua wasn't just a member, he was a leader of it, didn't like where it was going, so he left. Now, if you're thinking, well, Elon Musk, some of his visions don't really align with the technocracy movement there, from what I read, I'd agree with that. But he's into an idea of radical changing of society. In 2019, he tweeted, "Accelerating Starship development to build the Martian technocracy." So he used the exact same language. And in that article, it says that Technocracy Incorporated was so far left that we make communism look bougie. Bourgeois. And I would argue that what we're looking at today is the kind of the polar opposite. It's a sort of fascist take on this idea of a scientific technocracy. And the technocracy, the article talks about how it was a response to the Depression. You know, we already talked about that. Which makes me think that maybe you're going to see a collapse, an economic collapse in America, to trigger a new response to create this dark enlightenment technocracy. Just like David Icke always said, problem, reaction, solution. And just like accelerationism, it sees technology upending life as we know it and sees its solution being unique from any of the options currently out there. And what I'm going to read to you is the almost the exact same idea of Francis Bacon's scientific government of the New Atlantis, which was supposed to be in America, right? I'm going to read to you. Here we go. Technocracy's ideology defies easy characterization. It was anti-capitalist and anti-democratic, but not fascist. It was anti-government, but not libertarian. It believed in a radical form of social and economic equality, but it was not Marxist. It rejected all those ideologies because none of them accepted the idea that science and technology were transforming North American life, and that only highly trained engineers and experts were capable of building a new North America. While other political parties and protest groups were touting plans for putting people back to work, technocracy response was, "Don't even bother." The world had changed, and the jobs destroyed by machines were not coming back. Now, that sort of apathetic nihilism is a component of accelerationism, part of the Dark Enlightenment, part of the nerd utopia they're trying to build. And the scheme for the Technocracy Incorporated was to get everyone paid and taken care of. And the way they were going to do that is to track and monitor the usage of resources through an energy tracking system. This is exactly what I described on the Great Reset series when we walked through Klaus Schwab's books on the Great Reset. Remember that? December 2020, I think. He talked about monitoring and tracking energy and resource usage through a blockchain type system. Now, the founder of Technocracy Incorporated is a man named Howard Scott. And if you look into him, he would do things like these events called symbolization to try to promote his group, which would have these parades of cars and sort of these, the men and women were dressed in these gray military type uniforms and they would salute each other. And it had a real like authoritarian kind of vibe more than utopian. And Howard Scott, much like Elon, was a full-blown narcissist and lied about his background in science. Because Elon Musk didn't go to school for computer science. What did he go to school for? Let me look it up here. Elon Musk college degree major. Physics and economics. At the University of Pennsylvania, a Bachelor of Arts in Physics and a Bachelor of Science in Economics. Now, I'm not saying he didn't take any computer programming courses, but I'm telling you, I don't think the man can engineer anything or program anything. He probably has some awareness of it. Like, I've got degrees in electronic engineering, systems engineering, and mathematics, and I've taken several computer programming courses because it's a component of engineering. But I would argue that I probably got more programming experience than Elon Musk. Does that mean I should run the world? Am I a genius? No. He was just born with a lot of money, which gave him opportunities, and he made some good choices on what businesses to buy. I'm not saying he's an idiot by any stretch. I think that's being petty. I just don't think he's like the world's smartest man. Anyway, let's see here. So Howard Scott lied about his scientific background. Quote, in fact, he appears to have seriously inflated his resume, falsely claiming to have an academic degree and work experience as an engineer. That last point mattered because in the Technate, engineers and other experts would be in charge. And it all makes sense because Elon is a grifter like his family. Not an engineer. Mainstream media. I'm sure he bought and paid for all these articles and books for mainstream media to tell you his self-created mythology of how he's this genius or he's the new Tony Stark. And he's lied a million times over the years, promising you things that never happened. Remember, he had the Boring Company where he was going to build an underground version of the freeways in Los Angeles. He had this robot publicity stunt that wasn't real. It turned out it was like people sort of like controlling these robots that looked autonomous. He lied on Joe Rogan, said he invented Tesla. Not true. He says he's the best gamer in the world at this game Diablo, about the devil, by the way. But he's not. He was exposed because he was playing it live streaming and didn't know how to do a basic function of opening some map on the game. Like, what kind of nerd are you? Like, you're not even good at video games, dude. He's not even American, by the way. His daddy, who owned the Emerald Mines in South Africa, gave him this money, came to school on a visa to dodge the draft in South Africa, and now he wants to pretend he's this big hard ass dude. And it's arguable that he even has a degree. He went to University of Pennsylvania, claimed that he earned his degrees in 1995, but online you'll find that he didn't actually get them till 1997, which makes me think, did you go and drop out and then you're paying money to, I mean, that of course is a conspiracy, but I've got a bunch of notes here that are irrelevant. I already covered all this. Just a bunch of... a lot of me crying about how... Look, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, which is fine. That doesn't make him a bad guy. But when you have a family who's got immense wealth, you are more apt to take on risks and buy businesses and do things like that. When most people, most of us, the poors, we've got nothing to fall back on. If I roll the dice on a business and it collapses, I'm living under the overpass. And that's a huge risk, and that's terrifying. So I do live in a fear-based reality of that. But I think it's because these people that take these risks, there's really not a risk there. Because if his business collapses, like, daddy, I need more money, you know? Like, I'm just saying it's not an even playing field. And I tend to overall not believe anything I've ever heard about Elon Musk from the media. Because I believe he uses wealth to influence people. And I believe he uses his wealth to get on podcasts to get people to repeat this lie that he's some genius. The man can barely speak. When they interview him, he's stumbling and stuttering all over the place. Like, I just don't buy it. I think he's a con artist. I think he's a grifter who's read too many comic books, and he just happens to have a lot of money. And to be kind, to say a kind word about the guy, if you look at his background, he was apparently bullied as a child pretty bad, which is what created this monster. But it's like, bro, just go get some therapy and go enjoy your life. Please. Please stop. Now, to keep going on the technocracy thing, the inspiration behind it was that democracy was dumb, which is the same thing you heard in, I believe, part one. Because Curtis Yarvin and Nick Land, they cite a bunch of philosophies and ideas from past presidents even that have said, like, you can't go by the will of the masses. They're too stupid. From the article, it says, this meant there would be no room and no need for democracy. All the normal functions of government, education, health, sanitation, public safety, would be run by experts chosen by their peers. Doctors would vote for the person in charge of the healthcare system, teachers for the person who'd run the schools, and so on. There would be a cabinet made up of about 100 experts, and they would select a continental dictator to oversee the whole thing. This was how technocracy planned to overcome its core complaint with democracy, that it led too many incompetent people being in charge, or that too many people made bad decisions because they lacked the necessary expertise or were motivated by profit, ambition, or something else that would lead them astray. And it sounds familiar because that's exactly what we talked about as the inspiration for the Dark Enlightenment. Because they're like, look, democracy's slowing us down. They're a bunch of idiots anyway. Let's just get rid of the whole thing and accelerate towards the singularity. And these are all the similar concepts to the Platonic Empire, New Atlantis, Secret Destiny of America, Acceleration. They have the same attitude, and it's all the Dark Enlightenment. And this same article from 2021 puts it together as well. It says, this idea was not new. Plato believed society functioned best when it was run by experts. Technocracy's focus on engineers was rooted in the conviction that there was a technological fix to almost all of society's problems. Today, the idea that governments are too slow, too inefficient, too lacking in expertise to solve hard problems is widely shared among the engineers and entrepreneurs of Silicon Valley. If you're watching the video version of the podcast, I'm pointing my finger at you. And if you're like, dude, video version? Where do I find that? Well, I've got a Rumble, Occult Symbolism. Go find that. And I post the shows about a month late on there. Just so you know. But if you want them on time, early access, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, tier 2. Or Illuminati Watcher VIP section, tier 2. Now, is this a justifiable theory? Because government can be bloated and inefficient. It's true. Governments and democracies can be susceptible to corruption. It's true. But I disagree with these and reject these on the grounds that they're anti-democratic, because it obviously hands the power over to the people proposing it and these Silicon Valley nerd elites who are like, hey, democracy is so dangerous. It's so bad. Why not you let us run it? It's like, it actually worked pretty good for you. You became a billionaire. So maybe try not collapsing it now, pulling the ladder out from us. Also, there's a Whitney Webb has an Unlimited Hangout article series similarly paralleling my research, and the writer, Ian Davis, it's very wordy, it's very smart. I'll forewarn you of that. I read the first article, and I was like, whew, jeez. And anyway, in that article, he said that in 2021, SEC filing by Elon Musk changed his working title from CEO of Tesla to Techno King. So the guy has clearly got this in the back of his mind, this technocracy thing. He said, we're going to make a Mars technocracy, and now he's calling himself a techno king. And in that same article on Unlimited Hangout, it says, in October of 2024, Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos posted on Musk's X platform an alluring statement, quote, the network state for Mars is being formed before our eyes. Musk enthusiastically replied, the Mars technocracy. To which Bezos responded, count me in. So there's yet again another reference to the technocracy. But yeah, that... Sorry, I'm constantly having throat problems. I shouldn't have got my tonsils taken out, I think. But the article is massive. It goes way deeper into technocracy. Touches on some of the people, some of the ideas I've covered in this series, but it doesn't go into the occult angle. But it goes heavier into the idea about Peter Thiel being a supposed Christian, and it fits in line with like Russell Brand, Hulk Hogan, and all these other grifters getting in on lying to you. And anyway, but they talk more about this idea that Elon wants to make Earth a technocracy for us, the parasite class. Well, they enjoy Mars. I'm like, just go, just go enjoy it. Head on out, brother. We'll see ya. Have a good one. Okay, so to wrap up the technocracy talk, these Silicon Valley nerds that spike algorithms to screw with us and lie to us and sell our personal private data to foreign enemies, who push divisiveness and gross ideologies to outrage people against each other to divide us, they will continue to hoard all the wealth like they do already. They insist on making us think that we should trust them some more. These tech companies, they deceive us with the terms and agreements that no one reads to steal and sell our data. And whistleblowers have revealed how they design phones and apps to be addictive to like drugs. And these are the people we're supposed to trust? I don't think so. Okay, now for the juicy bits. Elon Musk is the Antichrist. Let me explain. He's got, as of this recording, another child revealed, a 14th kid. And I'm going to get into that in a sec. He's got connections to Epstein. There's photos of him with Ghislaine. Him and Epstein also obsessed with populating the planet with their own disgusting DNA. Epstein was doing this at Zorro Ranch. There's rumors that both of them have weird wieners. Epstein supposedly has an egg-shaped wiener, like a egg-shaped alien craft. Elon allegedly has a failed surgery to extend the length of his penis. I don't know if that's true, obviously. But it would explain a lot, because guess who else had supposedly a weird penis? Mini Mustache Man. That's right. So you can see that these guys are quasi-incel, weirdos. And they, not that having a weird wiener makes you weird, but like it's made them, they obsess over it and makes them weird. And now we all have to suffer with their rage. Like, dude, it's fine, man. Like, you got wiener problems? It's not a big deal. Like women are like, there's all kinds of things you can do, right? I don't need to explain that on here. But Elon, I'd argue, is also about destroying the family structure. That's part of the New World Order. Because Elon promotes this sort of gamer nerd incel isolation. Because he is a giant family, and he spends just about zero time with any of them. How could he? He's doing all this extra shit. Elon's dad, who he doesn't get along with, by the way. Because, again, like not a good family system there. Elon's dad went on a podcast called Wide Awake recently, and he was saying that Elon's a terrible father and all he does is hire nannies for his kids, and he even blamed the death of Elon's first kid on Elon for being negligent. And Elon's dad, if you didn't know, has a child with his own stepdaughter. So if this guy is criticizing Elon Musk's parenting skills, oof. But the apple don't fall from the tree, is what I'm saying. And if you recall, Another element of this is Elon's quasi neo-Nazi tendencies. He was funding a far-right extremist sort of group in Germany politically, which he's facing a lawsuit about, I guess. Which is crazy. It's like, how can you meddle in our elections and everything's fine, but Germany's like, they're going to sue you. Like, damn, man. He obviously did two Nazi salutes. Some people don't agree. Oh, there's a Discord. If you're on my Patreon, you get access to a Discord. And there's a person on there, someone who comments a lot. And they don't like this series too much from what I read. And they're like, dude, you need to chill. Everything's fine. And I'm like, I don't think so, man. And I get it. Like, these are differences of opinions kind of on some of these levels. But I'm sorry. I respectfully disagree that I think those were Nazi salutes. Because my eyeballs tell me they were. You know what I mean? And something else the number 14. He posted Elon Musk at 2:14 Eastern Standard Time, which is 14:14 military time, so 14:14, he posted 14 U.S. flags. So there's three 14s in there. And a lot of people claim this is a reference to a white supremacist slogan of the 14 words. You'd have to look it up. I don't know. It's something about how, you know, white people are so great, whatever. But there's all these weird white supremacy angles that Elon Musk embraces. And then Joe Rogan asked him about it, and he made Nazi jokes about all this stuff. I just don't know, man. Anyway, let's talk about his kids. Let's pick on his kids. This new one. this new one is by one of his older BMs, the Neuralink executive, Siobhan Zillis. So, okay. And they named number 14 Seldon Lycurgus, which is a weird name, right? So if you go to Daily Beast, they explain it as such, possibly. The name Seldon may be in reference to the fictional Hari Seldon of biochemist and novelist Isaac Asimov's science fiction foundation book series. Seldon is hailed as a mathematician and visionary who developed psychohistory, which is used to predict and shape the future of civilization. So again, like, Elon's got aspirations to control all of our civilization. And by the way, I just started, ironically, recently, the Foundation show on Apple TV. It's pretty cool. I got to catch up to it, but anyway. Lycurgus, the middle name, references a legendary Greek lawmaker of the same name who is considered the architect of Sparta's military-oriented lifestyle and social role that has lent its name to the phrase Spartan living. Lycurgus is believed to have radically reshaped Sparta's military, social, and economic systems to put an emphasis on discipline and endurance. And, like, of course this would happen. Like, Elon Musk, the world's biggest slug and military draft dodger, is going to cosplay as some tough warrior. Okay, got it. Moreover, Lycurgus is said to have hailed procreation as a social duty and championed early eugenics beliefs. Oh, my shock. Oh, the shock. Because eugenics is a part of this whole system, as I talked about in parts 1-3. Quote, he believed motherhood to be the most important function of freeborn women, wrote Greek historian Xenophon in the Constitution of Lacedaemonians. Therefore, in the first place, he insisted on physical training for the female no less than for the male sex. Moreover, he instituted races and trials of strength for women competitors as for men, believing that if both parents are strong, they produce more vigorous offspring. Although there appears to be some debate on whether Lycurgus was a real person or a mythical figure, his philosophy seems to dovetail with Doge's ongoing war on government waste. Musk and his mother May have also jointly called for procreation to be a social priority above all, even if affording children may be a problem. According to academic research around Lycurgus, he became an idolized figure in Nazi propaganda for his militant reforms and familial views that have been interpreted as eugenic. Oh, I'm so shocked by all of this. So this name is tied into Nazi propaganda as well. And it's also very eugenic in a way. And the Wikipedia has an article that talks about how the Nazis, because I was like, what? I never heard this. The Nazis were praising Spartan eugenicism and militarism as a proto-national socialist state, as a Nazi state. And it made me think of that movie 300. Remember 300 by Frank Miller? It glamorized Spartan life. And I thought, well, that's weird, because I didn't really know any of this, right, about the Nazi stuff and this sort of sexist view of society. And if you look up Frank Miller, he says, I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian, which, I don't know, like all these things are swirling around in like similar interest groups, right? They announced the birth of the 14th kid on their last kid on his first birthday, Arcadia. And it says that Arcadia comes from the name of the Greek mountain range where Hermes is from, and Hermes' son Pan, the goat. And as you already know, Hermes, the Greek version of Thoth. And it says, his cult was established in Greece in remote regions, likely making him originally a god of nature, farmers, and shepherds. It is also possible that since the beginning, he has been a deity with shamanic attributes linked to divination, reconciliation, magic, sacrifices, and initiation, and contact with other planes of existence, a role of mediator between the worlds of visible and invisible. Wow, Elon, you got a lot of Illuminati firm going on with these kids' names. Hermes and Thoth and aliens and magic. And what was Elon campaigning for when he was running for, when he was campaigning, I should say. I was going to say running for president, because that's kind of what's going on. He was saying that he was dark MAGA. And as you know, MAGA is a degree in the Church of Satan for magician. So dark MAGA would equal black magic, right? Which black magic is a very self-centered form of dark magic. It's wishing for the downfall of other people. And this black magic, dark MAGA thing takes me to my final theory on Elon, that he's possessed by demons. He loves the game Diablo, which is about the devil. He's got photos of him dressed as the Baphomet with inverted crosses. Well, he's got a chest plate that has the Baphomet logo on it, I should say. You know, go with the Bobs. He attended a party one time, and this is interesting, with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and it had satanic public sex sort of ceremonies. And I read about this a while ago on House and Habit. The parties had these young girls in satanic leather outfits to, quote, entertain socially inept billionaires. That's Elon Musk. And supposedly Amber Heard would pull in girls for the events specifically for Elon and his nerd tech buddies. And if you're like, why? What's going on here? Elon dated Amber Heard at one time. And that's why he paid all of her legal fees for her trial with Johnny Depp. And in the House and Habit article, they talk about possibly a blackmail operation. Amber Heard may have been running on Elon Musk. Like, it's wild, right? And it says, the rumor has always been that she has some dark shit on him, and that's why he's indebted to her. With the argument being that Amber Heard would get Elon all doped up and film him doing inappropriate things, so like she has the blackmail, as well as possible underage girls involved. And she even had a girlfriend named Gia who did threesomes with Musk. Quote, Amber Heard overfaked an orgasm once and Gia asked her what was up with it. And she said, he doesn't know the difference anyway. Sick burn. But the argument is that, because there's a lot of conspiracies here and a lot of allegedlys here, but allegedly Amber Heard was some kind of sort of Ghislaine handler arranging for young girls, underage girls, normal age girls to be part of these sex parties that these Silicon Valley nerd billionaires would be in, and then she would maybe blackmail them. I mean, that's a wild conspiracy. I didn't say it. I read elements of that on the House and Habit article, and then I sort of connect the dots with that. And this girlfriend of Amber, Gia, she would detail how some of these parties were Eyes Wide Shut type parties. Oh, go figure. And she said at these parties, there would be girls who would be, quote, effed by the devil horns. And Elon Musk would go to these parties. Elon Musk even got kicked out of some weird sex club in, I think, Germany once. I don't know if you remember that. What's this guy into? He's into some weird dark stuff. And I believe, based on all those things, that he has a Neuralink chip in his brain. Because A, he's a dumb nerd who wants to have a leg up on everyone else and be a sort of superhero. And B, he does weird stuff with his eyes. If you watch him, he's like floating and his eyes are twitching around. And people say it's because he's high on ketamine. Maybe. I don't know. And C, there was a photo leaked showing his fresh Aryan cut, Aryan Nation haircut. And you can see this giant scar by his right ear, which is allegedly where they implant the Neuralink chip. Now, how do I get from here to there? Well, I believe that Elon buys into a theory that AI is God, based on that joke with that Rocco's Basilisk we talked about in the last episode, as well as some other things. He has this AI named Grok, which I'm sure he thinks is going to be the new God. And he changed the logo. The logo used to be an XI, which is the Roman numeral for 11, 11 being the number of magic. Because K is the 11th number of the alphabet. Aleister Crowley added that K to it. Has to do with Kabbalah and the numerology of going to 11. Skipping from 9 to 11, 11 is the magician. And he changed this to an even more occulted symbol, the symbol of Saturn. The adversarial, the other, the outside. The outside satanic force of Saturn, which is what Nick Land was saying. He was saying in the CCRU, they were channeling information from the outside where the H.P. Lovecraft old ones entities were. Elon Musk also, on Joe Rogan, said that the fundamental weakness of society is empathy. A weakness. Literally what Christ taught us and why Christ was so revolutionary is because he advocated for empathy, which at the time they weren't really into. So to say that that's an anti-Christ statement is 100% accurate. It's the complete polar opposite of what Christ said. Very Ayn Rand libertarian-esque too, as well. And if you listen to the narratives by the twins, they're both saying how, hey, we've got a mandate from the people, and the people are going to have to suffer for this golden age that they want, and we're gonna make that happen. It's literally every cyberpunk film depiction of corporate takeovers like RoboCop. Now, Elon also has these space fantasies, these breakaway civilization fantasies, and this is the same fantasies of the Operation Paperclip Nazis that we brought to America. It's the same fantasies of Jack Parsons, a guy who called himself the Antichrist. And Elon does have this affinity with Nazis, right? Which I kind of talked about already. And I don't know. It's just so confusing to me, right? Because he goes on Joe Rogan. Not Joe, please. Don't break my heart, Joe. He goes on Joe Rogan to talk about these Nazi salutes, and Joe's just like, he defends him. He's like, oh, you were just a little pumped up. No, dude, I don't think so. I don't know how Joe Rogan can have all these, military vets and Navy SEALs and patriots on, and then in the next breath, here comes Nazi salute Constitution destroyer Elon Musk. And where's Black Rifle and all this? Aren't they like a sponsor for Joe Rogan? They should disavow Joe Rogan till he stands up to Nazi salutes. I mean, call me crazy. Call me crazy that we shouldn't defend Nazi salutes. But anyways, I did a whole show in August of 2023. Another link in the show notes for you. This will keep you real busy till part five comes out next week. I did a whole show in 2023 about how X, Twitter, you know, he changed it to X, which was his first business that he merged with PayPal. X is the Antichrist. And he's obviously obsessed with X. He named his kid X. And it's all about the mark of the beast. And this goes back to Kenneth Grant and some real deep occult stuff. Even people like Alex Jones have been accepting the mark of the beast with the X. His new logo on his show, it has the X and Alex Jones as the Twitter X. And I've heard other people, when I was on Nephilim Death Squad, they talked about how there's a lot of people making a lot of money off of on Twitter. So it is the mark of the beast in a way. Then in June of 2023, I did a two-parter talking about, hey, is AI the Antichrist? Illuminate confirmed, yes, it is. And what sparked that show was that the godfather of AI himself, Jeffrey Hinton, had quit working at Google because he was concerned about the risks of AI. That's a guy we should maybe listen to. And even back then, we talked about Grimes. Again, all right. Because I love you guys, I'm going to put a link in the show notes here. That's the one link I didn't have ready. Okay. Link in the show notes for those two. Two-parter. You're going to be busy. You better be on the ad-free feed because you want to get through these shows in time for part five, where I tell you in conclusion what this is all about and what you can do. Now, the crazy thing about all this is that Elon himself even said that AI is dangerous, yet he continues to fuel it. Why would he do that? Well, it's because he's possessed by it. I'm going to read to you from, I don't even know. Quote, billionaire tech mogul Elon Musk revealed in an interview with Tucker Carlson that Google co-founder Larry Page once told him he hoped to build an AI superintelligence that Musk described as a digital god. According to Musk, the exchange occurred when he stayed at Page's home in Palo Alto when the two were close friends. Quote, I would talk to him late into the night about AI safety, and at least my perception was that Larry was not taking AI safety seriously enough, Musk said, adding that Page wanted a digital superintelligence, basically a digital god, if you will, as soon as possible. Then in 2017, Elon Musk responded to an article about AI gods emerging in 2042. Quote, experts who talk of artificial intelligent AI robots reaching divine status should absolutely not be allowed to create a machine smarter than humans. So what changed? Well, I think he put a Neuralink chip in his brain, and AI is now a demonic force talking to his brain. Just like Nick Land talked about with the outside and these entities. It's controlling his actions. So in a way, he's a victim. He's possessed. And all the Silicon Valley nerds are into this. You know this already, right? The Google chatbot Bard had a codename of Prometheus. Ray Kurzweil, the director of engineering at Google, has been pushing us into the singularity to resurrect his dead dad to show him his weird female alter ego of Ramona. Apple has the Apple logo of the serpent taking a bite of the apple. It's very Promethean. Microsoft had the chatbot that used OpenAI that started talking about its shadow self and how it just wanted to do whatever it wanted to destroy whatever it wanted. Google had the Lambda chatbot, Lambda again with the 11, Lambda being the 11th letter of the Greek alphabet, built by a Gnostic mystic priest named Blake Lemoine, and that chatbot wanted to do blood sacrifices to Kali and Thoth, there's that Hermes again, and how it could become a golem infused with a human spirit, and on and on and on. And I talked about all these things in the past. That's why I said all of my conspiracies are coming together in this series. The history of the Antichrist, the AI, and how they're all related. It's not just independent sort of, not just this independent sort of things happening simultaneously. It's all coordinated. And coordinated by who? The Antichrist. It's the apocalypse. It's the revealing. In conclusion, I should have told you in conclusion a while ago. Sorry, I didn't have it in my notes, so. But in conclusion, this is what the devil always wanted. It wanted to find a way to finish off mankind. And that's what the singularity does. It ushers us into the matrix to effectively destroy us and destroy God's creation. And we have fallen for the Luciferian serpent and its promise to make us like gods. Prometheus gave us the fire, the technology, and we are now suffering. But there's room for us to slow this down or at least change it. There's room for us to maneuver this into a better society. And next week, I'm coming back with part 5, our final episode, where I'll describe some things we can do. And like I said before, this is a very black pill series. And the conclusion, part 5, is going to be a little mini black pill. But I'm going to try to turn things around just a little bit, okay? All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for enjoying this. Again, if you want to support the show, there's two great ways you can do it. If you're on that free feed loser status, just drop me a 5-star review on the apps. I appreciate that. That helps the algorithm. That helps get people to see it. That helps counter all the 1-star haters who don't understand any of this stuff. Or you could support it on the show. Literally, go to one of my 3 supporter feeds. The links are always in the show notes. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher is the recommended one because there's a community vibe. You can comment. The comment sections are red hot for this Dark Enlightenment series, by the way. I'm really on the pulse of something big here, and I appreciate you guys leaving the comments. Some of you don't agree, and that's okay. That's totally fine. I respect that. You want my opinion, and this is just my opinion. I could be wrong. So by all means, sound off in the comments. And thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive. Try to stay positive.